tell me this moment with little boy meets a burlesque dancer.
Little boy meets burlesque dancer. It's not quite the standard boy meets girl, but sort of. Danny is 8 years old. It's 1958, and he's been sent on an errand to buy cigarettes for his father, but he loses the money, and he doesn't know what to do, and he goes into an alley, and he sees this beautiful woman smoking her cigarette, and he realizes, I don't know if he quite knows she's a burlesque dancer, but she's a burlesque dancer, and she's in full costume, but she's got a robe, and they strike up a conversation, and she gives him cigarettes for his father, and for him, she's the most wonderful, glamorous, beautiful creature he has ever seen, and he has grown up with a life where beauty doesn't occur very often. And so when he sees someone like so real to him, who's so beautiful, it just almost takes his breath away. And which is why he as an adult also goes back to that moment over and over and over again. And for Val, it's a little bit different because she has sort of a soft spot in her heart for little boys and for little kids, actually. And she... he reminds her of a little boy that she used to know and she used to love very much. So I think for both of them, that meeting speaks to very much what they both wanted or longed for in life. And for Danny, it was beauty. And for her, it was that connection with a child again. And I think that scene was the very first one that I wrote. And that's another scene that didn't actually get much editing because it came so quickly and seemed so natural, so right. For me and for that story.
And the fact that she's in Chinatown playing a exiled princess from Siam. But it was the same era when Charlie Chan was always played by white guys.
And she was not the only dancer who would play up some kind of ethnic thing that whether they were part of that ethnicity or not didn't even really seem to matter. Like, I remember reading about this cabaret that was in Chinatown, but it was in all the dancers were black women. And I saw pictures of them, like old flyers, and they would wear like cheetah costumes and like these strange grass skirts, which I'm sure had nothing to do with anything. And it was not unusual for that. And it occurred to me that it reminded me actually of when The End of East came out and someone wanted me to do an event. And the event eventually got billed as, come see Jensuk Fong Lee Reed and wear your best Oriental costume and you can get a door prize. And that was part of what was in her act. That was still in my head because it was like so crazy and horrifying to me in 2007. But then I thought, but in 1948, that would be awesome. And so that was, part of the reason I did it. But it's a strange little, I don't know what you'd call it, postmodern box within a box, that kind of her being pretending to be Oriental in the middle of Chinatown.
She's a great broad. Yeah. I could see someone like Lauren Bacall playing her, someone who's not conventionally beautiful, but I mean, I jump Lauren Bacall now and she's got to be 90. I mean, she has it.
Yeah, Val is just, she is a broad. I was worried for a while that she was too much of a broad, and then, and putting in that stuff about her as a child and as a teenager, I think changed, and her ill-fated love affair changed some things about her. But she is, and she's the sort of woman who walks into a room and everybody stares at her, but they don't really know quite why. And then she cracks a few jokes and drinks a slug of scotch, and then everyone's like, she's awesome, I want to be her best friend. And like I remember writing her, I'm like, I want to be her best friend. I needed her, though, to be so great that Danny would think about her for the rest of his life. And she is, like, that great in some ways.
1958 is when we get young Danny, mm-hmm. and then we get him in 82. 82 being gay was the start of the scary times. I'd forgotten, though, the terror that my gay friends had. Mm-hmm. And poor Danny's in the middle of that.
I think I forgot it too. I think everyone who, I was really young at the time, but I was definitely in school and I was definitely aware of what was happening on the news and the news stories. And I remember the words gay cancer. And I remember Kaposi sarcoma, which is what they were calling it for a really long time. And I saw, first of all, I saw Angels in America on HBO, the one with Meryl Streep and Al Pacino. And I remember watching that and thinking, I had totally forgotten how scary it was. And then I saw a documentary like very soon afterwards called The Age of AIDS, and it was a really good sort of overview of how AIDS, you know, affected people. It was a very human sort of documentary, and I remember there was this one scene of this man, and it was like 1983 or 84, and you know, he looked like a guy from like 1984, and he didn't have any money because he couldn't really work, and also nobody would hire him because, you know, he was sick, and he was betting everything on these experimental drugs, which of course didn't work. And it was a scene of him in a pharmacy, and he was counting out $1 bills to pay for his medication because that's all he had, and he had all of his money. He was bankrupting himself on these experimental drugs. And I just thought, you know, we forget that now, that HIV/AIDS, you know, in Canada and the U.S. it can be manageable. We forget about that. And I just thought that terror and that, and it lasted for a long time, is something that I really felt sort of emotionally compelled to write.
The book is The Better Mother. I've been speaking with the author, Jen Sukfong Lee, and The Better Mother, published by Knopf Canada.